Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me and renew in me the right spirit, please. Till that secret, sacred place in you, make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you see me through.
Oh. God can and God will see us through, so have no fear. Oh, God can and God will, no matter the trial, He's God with Him. We win.
We win.
We win.
Mama prayed for me. Late nights coming in, I find her asleep on her knees. All grown up now, I understand why she prays so much. Incline your ear, I need your touch. Again, we're having some technical troubles this morning. I'm going to try again. Bear with us. Just bear with us this morning. We're having some technical troubles. Be back in a minute. Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me.
hopefully you guys can hear me this morning. Because we have been having some technical trouble, and there's an echo that I'm hearing in the background. But we're going to try to continue on with the show. So hopefully, I guess you guys can hear me loud and clear.
So we're going to move on. Praise the Lord. Good morning. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yoke of bondage. We kind of get a little few minutes. We're behind in just a few minutes, and that's because of some technical troubles. You know, sometimes with these phones and with these on air, you have some attend in her support. So we have been talking about, let me give you the location, I'm sorry, it's on 7745 South State Street. For all those that can attend, please attend. And you know, another announcement that I do want to make is that Richard Daniel Hinton University is still time to register for my class. Please register. You can call me. You can call me for more information. I need your support. Certainly, if you don't register, then I can't teach the class. They're not going to have the class. And I just need you. I need you to get the word out that this is the last, and this last month is the last month you can register. Please support me. Please pray for me that we may get this done. You guys know my cell phone number is 309-750-7584. I need your support. I need your help, certainly, in order to teach this class. So let's get to our lesson, shall we? We've been talking about the month of February. We've been talking about dealing with the pains of grief and loss. We've been talking about the fact that the Word says that this is the last enemy that will be destroyed, and that is death. And the scriptures we've been focusing on are 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 24 to 26, and they read, "Then comes the end, and when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rules and all authority and power. For he must reign till he put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that should be destroyed is death." Then we hit 2 Corinthians 5 and 8, and it reads, "We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord." And we've been dealing with, we started out dealing with, and I got one more scripture, but I'm going to read it as we get into the lesson. We've been dealing with this issue of death and dying, this issue of grief and loss. And I know many of us have said, well, we have had somebody in our families that have passed on or who have died. And in this case, our co-host, her mother has gone to go back to the earth, but our soul and our spirit does not. It does not die. It doesn't die because God is a spirit and because he blew his breath in us. And once he blew his breath of life in us, we became a living soul, not living body, but a soul. So in essence, that part of us does not die, although we question and try to figure out what happens after death. But there's a whole lot of theories, there's a whole lot of sayings, but the Bible is clear, and it gives us a picture of the fact that if you're not right, then there's a destination that you're going to. It's either heaven or hell. Now, this body's got to go back to the dust, but that soul, that spirit, has to go someplace. And the question is where it's going after you leave here. So we started out dealing with the grief and loss, and my enemy has been destroyed. We then talked about absent from the body but being present with the Lord. You know, I thought about that, and I thought about that when we look at the saints of God and when we look at them in the coffins, and they look so different. There's something about them that don't look like the same. Although the mortician might have put that makeup on and fixed them up like they normally are fixed up, but it's just something about them. And that's because that soul and that spirit is no longer there. So today we're dealing with the spirit of heaviness. And when our loved ones go on, there are some changes, there are some situations, there are some problems that we go through. There are some agony, some frustrations, there's some denial, there are some things that we go through in dealing with the spirit of heaviness. So the Bible says in Isaiah 61:3, it says, To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for the mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We want to deal with the spirit of heaviness today. So when we look at it, and I'm going to read it again, but we want to explore what that means, the spirit of heaviness. The spirit of heaviness, and when we look at heaviness, it's defined as this, the quality of having a great weight, a great destiny or density or thickness, of state of being greater in amount or force, intense, greater than usual, the quality of being very important or serious. So when we look at that spirit of heaviness, that spirit that weights us down, that thing, you know, you don't have joy, you just feel heavy. You know, I just feel sad. I just feel heavy. So it's an intense feeling of heaviness, something that weighs you down. You know, if you something is bothering you or you having a problem with something, you find that you just tossing and tossing. You know, some things bother you so until you can't go to sleep. It weighs heavily on you, so it bothers your sleep. So we got excessive mourning, sorrow and grief, depression, despair, dejection, hopelessness, self-pity, loneliness, disappointment, even insomnia. I talked about that spirit that has you so heavy until you can't go to sleep. That's insomnia. Inner hurts and bruises. So when we get back over in Isaiah 61:3, let's read it in the New Living Translation, shall we? To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyful blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his glory. Now, when we look at it, I'm going to break all of those down because we really need to look at the spirit of heaviness. And we usually, you know, when people go on, people die, some people say, I'm good, but then others have a problem with the death and loss. And there is a degree in which that person passed, which seems to be whether or not the individuals that are grieving their loss grieve heavier than most. So excessive mourning, which we find in Luke chapter 4 and 18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to the brokenhearted to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. So when you look at the spirit of mourning, when you look at people that are passing, when you look at people that have gone through great amount of traumatic situations in terms of that loved one leaving here unexpectedly, there's excessive mourning. Certainly when you look at the basketball player Kobe Bryant and his daughter dying all of a sudden, unexpectedly. You know, that wife has to be grieving her heart out. You know, when you look at some places say, well, she can't even finish a sentence without crying. Well, that's excessive mourning. That is crying. That is hurt. That is pain. That is just the agony of feeling that loss so traumatically. Then we got sorrow and grief. Nehemiah 2:2 reads, wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart, that I was very sore and afraid. See, that sorrow of heart, you know, that heart can be so painful. In this case, Nehemiah was just looking at the temple, rebuilding the temple, how things have gone disarray for the Israelites, how the temple was broken down, and he had a desire and a mind to build. And certainly the king granted him, of course, if we read the scriptures, to go build. But his heart was affected. His mind was affected. His job was affected. His job was affected so tough until the king saw on his face, man, you're supposed to be working for me, but you ain't got no joy. You ain't got no excitement. What's wrong with you, brother? What's wrong? Proverbs 15:14 reads, the heart of man that has understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Then we have self-pity. See, these are just some of the scriptures that we can find that deal with the spirit of heaviness, the spirit of grief, brokenheartedness. Then we get self-pity, not Romans, but
unemployed, and I can make my bills, I can pay my bills, but
There is that speaketh like the piercing. There is that speaketh like the piercing of the sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 5:15-3. The eye of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good, the evil, and the good. Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. The last one, Proverbs 18:14, says, the spirit of the man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear. So again, you begin to see what happens when we have a broken heart. You know, and if you look at it, and you look at yourself, if something, the spirit of heaviness, you know, your heart is broken. You're torn. You don't know what to do. You can't seem to find joy in what you used to find joy in because you're hurting, you're in pain, you're suffering. You know, you don't know what the future may last or the outcome, and you're just hurting and you're sad. For those that have lost their loved ones, they're brokenhearted, they're suffering, they don't know what the world that they used to know is no longer, it no longer exists anymore. So their heart is broken. So they're crying, they're grieving, they don't understand why something like this would happen. This is the spirit, well, this is the brokenhearted. Now then we go through despair, dejection, and homelessness, and we can find that in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 through 9. It says, we think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we never live through it. And you know, there's some situations that you go through, you feel like you'll never live through it. You won't make it. You can't make it. You don't know how are you going to make it, but the Lord, hallelujah, bless God. So when we look at this passage and we look at the scriptures, and let me finish the scriptures. You know, the scriptures get good to me. In fact, we expected to die, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God, who raises the dead. Man, if that ain't a testimony, if that ain't a period or exclamation mark on what we're talking about today when we're dealing with the spirit of heaviness, God, we have to rely on the Lord, because at the same time, that spirit of heaviness includes depression and heaviness itself, and then even suicidal thoughts. And we could go to Mark and 9. You know, last week we got into Mark verses, chapter 9, verses 43 to 48. And it talks about death. And it talks about, and let me read it. If thou hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter to the life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, unto the fire, and never shall be quenched. So when we look at death, when we look at people and suicidal thoughts and those issues that a person has to go through when they're in despair, I can't make it. I can't make it. I'm so upset. I'm so withdrawn. I'm so out of it. The spirit of heaviness has me down. So until I just feel like I just want to just throw it all away and just forget about it. But the only way we can make it is through God, because God has the last word. The word says, you know what? God comes to uplift us. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would it be? We can't deal with the spirit of heaviness unless we have the Lord on our side. And then Satan would try to make us just say God is not there, you know, and you ought to curse God, you know, and die. That's what Job's wife told him. He said, you know what, how you going to depend on the Lord? You going through all this stuff, man. Why don't you just stop and just forget about it? But he said, woman, you sound like a fool. And that's the way we have to be. So when we look at inner hurts, the spirit being torn, I can give you even more scriptures. But I'm going to give you this last scripture for the inner hurts. That torn spirit, you don't know. You just, your heart has just been ripped apart. Proverbs 26 and 22. And this is the easy to read version. People love gossip. It's like tasty food on its way to the stomach. People like to hurt you. People like to say stuff they ain't got to say. But then those inner hurts, those things, those feelings that you're dealing with, all are creates the spirit of heaviness. Now let me read this. Let me share something with you. The spirit of heaviness tries to take the joy of living away by loading the individual down with heaviness. If we have not defined anything else, I hope we have defined heaviness, despair, depression, insomnia, a broken heart, despair, self-pity, and heaviness in self. The spirit, which is heaviness, now understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spirit. So that is a spirit as well. The spirit of heaviness attempts to move in when we are mourning or grieving to keep us in an abnormal state of perpetual grief. I want to read that again. The spirit of heaviness tries to take the joy of living away by loading you down with heaviness. And we've defined heaviness. Now the spirit, heaviness, that spirit attempts to move in when we are mourning or grieving to keep us in an abnormal state of perpetual grief. Now understand, we talked about what grief is on the first week of this blog. That's why I broke it down, because grieving is normal. There are stages of grief that we're going to go through. And we talked about the various levels. I talked about sudden death. I talked about grief is not always just about death. It can be about divorce. It can be about a life transition, disaster, misfortune. And certainly when females, when we get from one age, when we get out of our 40s and hit our 50s, and there's a psychological and a physical stuff start happening, men too, they go through this, then there is a point where there is a period of grief and an unknown grieving about disparity of life. You know, when we go through stages, you know, Erickson talked about the stages of development. And even with going through the stages of development, if we feel like we have not been successful at a certain age, then there is a feeling of heaviness that can come upon us to make us feel like, why bother? We have not accomplished anything. So we talked about grief. We talked about the fact that grief is the intense emotional suffering caused by loss. We also talked about and defined bereavement, how we are suffering from the loss of a loved one, and the fact that it also could be the loss of a relationship. It also could be the loss of a role or the loss of a sense of control, the loss of security, and just the loss in just the orderly worldview. You know, some of us feel intensely grieving the intensity of the world state right now and what we are going through. So I want to say this, that grief is normal, but the spirit of heaviness tries to take you in that grief and tries to take that grief and turn it sour about the five stages. We talked about denial. We talked about anger. We talked about bargaining. We talked about depression, a time of sadness, disconnection. They may also blame themselves for somehow not preventing the loss. The field, they feel disorganized and do not know how to move on with their lives. So we've talked about all these things. Let's define the spirit of heaviness. And certainly there, we even quoted some scriptures in Job, and I'm just going to read those scriptures. You can read them on your own time. Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, verses 13 through 22, chapter 7. Verse 7, chapter 3, verse 1 through 2, verses 11 to 13, and chapter 6, verses 2 through 3. So the Bible defines spirit of heaviness as this. The second noun is used for smoking or dimly burning, flax, in Isaiah 42 and 3. So in its figurative sense, in Isaiah 42 and 4, Ezekiel 12, 21 and 7, which reads, "A bruised reed shall not break, and a smoking flax shall not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto the truth. He shall not rail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth, and the eyeless shall wait for the law." And this is Ezekiel 21 and 7, and this is the New Living Translation. "When thy acts, why you are groaning, tell them, I groan because of the terrifying news I have heard. When it comes true, the boldest heart will melt with fear. All strength will disappear. Every spirit will faint. Strong knees will become as weak as water, and the sovereign Lord says, it's coming, it's on his way." So when we look at the spirit, we look at the noun, we look at how it's coming, you know, the spirit of heaviness is a failing spirit. The word, the same word as dimly burning in Isaiah, it's the same word as dimly burning in Isaiah 42 and 3. The spirit of heaviness becomes heaviness that does oppose the spirit. It comes to, again, take away your joy. It comes to keep you down. It comes to make you sad, and it's abnormal. So you no longer can feel joy. You no longer can praise God. You no longer can feel the strength of the Lord. But when that scripture, because we're talking about Isaiah 61, and it's good that that scripture is talking. It says, and I'm going to read it again, "To them that mourn in Israel," to point unto them that mourn. So when we look at this scripture, when we look at the fact that it's talking, it gives you an example of the spirit of heaviness. And then it talks about the trees of righteousness. God is so good that he may, that those who mourn in Zion, you know, God gives a way out of no way. He says, you know, in this world, in this life, there are going to be some stuff that we're going to go through. There are going to be some problems. The scripture says the good rain on the situations, rain on the evil as well as the good. There's nothing. Faith and chance happens to us all. That's the word of God. The word says that even as a man is above earth, we're going to have some problems. That's the word of God, that we're going to go through some stuff. But then he talks about those who mourn in Zion to be trees of righteousness. In Hebrew, oak is that tree that stands strong. that oak represents the righteousness is meant in people to distinguish those for righteousness or justice. Trees of oak, you know, the Lord talks about trees, I believe, because trees have roots that go down deep into the ground, you know, and even some of the storms, and we see here lately that some of these hurricanes and some of these things, these storms are pulling up the trees, and they get tossed and torn when a tornado comes in. But when you talk about oak trees, when you talk about these trees that the Bible talks about, the trees of righteousness, that we may stand strong, that they may be a manifestation of God's goodness or represented by who he is, the strength of God, to know that he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly, that he is able to appoint in us to appoint a time, to appoint and to supply us with the comfort and the support and the joy that we need in the midst of our heaviness, in the midst of our trials and tribulations, in the midst of the storm. God is able to furnish us and equip us to allow his presence to be manifested in us. And when we look at the scriptures, Isaiah 1, and I'm not going to be able to quote all of them, Isaiah chapter 1, verses 29 and 30, and then we go to Psalms 92, 12 and 14, where it says, but the godly will furnish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted to be the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. So when we look at the fruits, when we look at what God does, so when we see, when we look at Isaiah 61 and 3 and we deal with the spirit of heaviness, we can say there is an overview of this scripture. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. They shall grow like cedars in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the Lord's, in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the court of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. And this is the overview of the scriptures I just said. I'm sorry. So these are the overview of the scriptures that I've just talked about. And they should be fat and flourishing. So when we look at it, when we see what God is able to do, yes, death is going to happen. Grief is going to happen. Problems are going to happen. We're going to go through situations that we don't understand why. But God is able to bless us. He's able to give us strength. Beauty for ashes means ashes understand wherever it is most proper for the days of mourning, as sackcloth sprinkled with ashes. And these ashes, which were sprinkled on their heads, mixing themselves with their tears, would render them of a woefully aspect, which was wont to be habit, which was the habit of the mourners, by beauty wherever may be beautiful or become things of rejoicing. So when we look at the beauty of ashes, there was a symbol, the oil of the joy for the morning. In this sense, the same was the former. He calls it the oil of joy. The anointing used in times of joy, Psalms 104 and 15, and also the same with what follows, gladness for heaviness. Gladness brings forth praises to God, and is called a garment of festival ornaments, for they have garments appropriate for their conditions, suitable for rejoicing, and at the same time of mourning, they have the comely garments so to affect the spirit of heaviness. And groaning, even in the midst of sharing and going through the loss of the love of that spirit, the ashes, those garments of praise, the oil of joy for the morning, all those things God institutes to help us deal with the loss of a loved one so that we can be like those trees planted deep, where our roots go solid and down deep in the ground, that we may not be moved even in the midst of our storms, even in the midst of our putting our loved ones away or grieving for our loved ones or our loved ones dying. We understand even on last week that is not the final chapter, but if we live right, if they live right, if they go on to be with the Lord, then we will see them again. And certainly we've got to trust in the Lord. We've got to lean out on our own understanding, and we've got to put our hands in Him to know that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And the power works in us. So again, let us pray. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity to come before you. God, that you might seal us, that you might help us deal with our grieving, that you might help us with the loss of our loved ones, or even the loss of whatever we've lost. And Father God, I pray even now, God, for missionary Terry Rogers, as she goes through the loss of her mother, as they go through her right now, Father God. I pray, God, that you go with this family, God. I pray, God, that you will keep this family. I pray, God, that you will strengthen this family, God. I pray, God, that you will move mightily in their lives, God. Give them to know that they're not alone, God, and that you are right there with them, Father God. God, comfort her heart and her mind, God, as she goes through this loss. God, be with her 100%, God. Then, God, give her the spirit of joy, God, for heaven's God. God, move and operate in this scripture, Father God. Encamps round about her, Father God. And even in her despair, God, give her the garment of praise for her spirit of heaviness, God. You know, Father God, what they are in need of, God. Because like a tree of righteousness, Father God. Hallelujah, Father God, and we bless your name. And Father God, bless all those that are on the blog this morning, Father God. I pray, God, that they heard a word, God, that will help them even through their process, even in the process of losing a loved one or a situation or whatever loss they might have encountered, Father God. I pray for them. I pray, God, that you move mightily, Father God, in Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. This is Dr. Carey. If I have said anything that has been a blessing to you, please give me a text response or email. My number is 309-750-7584. Let me know. Let me know that Dr. Carey is a blessing. Let me know I've learned something. Let me know. Because certainly we want to keep each other in prayer. We want to understand that we're living in the last and evil day. And the Lord is planning us. The planning of the Lord. We are being Himself holy and righteous. And He is planning us that we may be His representatives of who He is, that He may be glorified. Trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. It's so much in that scripture when we look at who we are in God and how He gets the victory. And certainly He does not do anything haphazard. God is real. He is mighty. He is on time, in time, and with time. And certainly when we even deal with time, there is no time when it comes to God, because He is time itself. So again, saints of the Lord, be blessed. I see you on next week. And send me a text, let me know.